Let's kneel for prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you that we all get to be here. Please help us to have a great day today in our classes and help us to learn what you want us to learn today during deep Bible study. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Can you take another? Long before I met Heidi, I was a single man. And before that, a single boy. And I was operating a small school in Oklahoma, and one of my students was out for a walk when she found a kitten abandoned beside the road. And she brought that kitten home, home meaning the school, you know, our campus. And she named the kitten Tishka, which more or less means cat in one language. And Tishka was a male cat, and he didn't have anyone to teach him the proper ways to be. So he taught himself rambunctiously. Any of you stay home by yourself too much? Like, I'll give you an example so you understand Tishka. I lived on the second floor, and my next-door neighbor was Dave Fiedler, who some of you have given me greetings from him. Like, our doors were right next to each other. On the second floor, and Tishka would climb a tree, jump on the roof, run around, jump to my window, and I'd come into my room in the nighttime, and he'd be on my bed sleeping. Me never having let him in the house at all. Just him letting himself in. And when that student left the school, she didn't take Tishka with her, which made him the school's cat, more or less my cat. And I, being a bachelor type guy, I just never was the kind to pour the cat food in a nice little bowl with some milk and some fish meat and give it there. Never, never, never like that. I figured Tishka needed something to do. So I'd put the cat food in a container, and I'd just scatter it along the yard. He can find it. That's what I figured. Cats need something to do, right? And Tishka became a very aggressive cat towards dogs. I noticed over the course of many years, I had Tishka for 15 years. I noticed over the course of that time that Tishka was never afraid of one dog. Tishka could be afraid of two dogs, but never of one. And I remember one time it made me smile. I saw Tishka laying down on the ground, and a medium-sized dog was barking ferociously at Tishka's back, and Tishka wouldn't even look at him. And the dog wouldn't touch him, because Tishka made many dog noses bleed. You understand? Then I got married. And my wife likes to cuddle with cats. And I had never taught Tishka to cuddle. And one day, Heidi was cuddling with Tishka and petting him very kindly. And Tishka, he could enjoy that for a while, but, you know, it was time for him to get going and go hunt or something. And he didn't really have a lot of ways to communicate with her. And he used one of the methods that he had always used. He just reached up and scratched her face. Psht. And Heidi really cares about her face. And now she didn't like my cat. And this was difficult for me because I had a cat and a wife. And they no longer were getting along. And they both lived in the same house. And I had to, you know, I had to, in a way, put one priority or the other. And I went with the wife. I did. So Tishka spent a lot of time outside after that. And one day in our house, we had an infestation of ants. And I went and bought some ant poison, you know, the white powder that the ants eat. And I put it outside, right where the ants were coming in. And Tishka found it and ate it as much as she could. It was a he. And it really was terrible for Tishka. He couldn't stand up. He had diarrhea and vomit, and saliva was just dripping down from the side of his face. He's laid on the ground. It looks for all the world like he's going to die. And when Heidi saw Tishka in his worst condition, it flipped something in her. Suddenly, she cared about him for the first time in many months. She cared about him in his pain and suffering. And she filled a syringe with charcoal. Any of you know how to use charcoal? And she made him take charcoal. You know, like, she got it down. And to make the story short enough, Tishka survived. Lived many years after that. And now Tishka and my wife would cuddle. It fixed it. It solved the problem, which is just my way of saying to young disciples that medical missionary work works. It solves all kinds of problems, and you really ought to try it. And it's not all I want to teach you from that story, but in that story, what you see is that the need that Tishka had, that called forth the compassion of Heidi. And Heidi's open care for the cat made the cat very grateful to Heidi. It was a bonding situation for the two of them. I have really enjoyed the last few days watching. I enjoy watching you ladies do this, but I enjoy watching the men do it more. When you men have put your arms around each other during songs, that kind of warmth I see, I really like that. I like seeing something that sounds like the Bible. In the Peter said, love as brethren. Has anyone ever seen that in the Bible? Love as brethren. Let's look at it. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. As you read verse 8, think about if you're here for 2 weeks, it'd be the memory work last week, the first part of your memory card. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Does that sound similar to the first verse in your memory card? Yes, sir. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion on one another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So I'm an old man, but I'm still learning some of these things. Pitiful. When I would take that food for the cat and just scatter it all over, that was discipline, but it wasn't very pitiful. It might be okay for a young cat, but in his old age, Tishka wasn't as strong, and he needed to have that food in a bowl. Pitiful. It's to be pitiful for animals is American. You know, only Americans take animals to veterinarians. I mean, that's a slight exaggeration, but it's almost true. I mean, in Bangladesh, they take cows to veterinarians because if the cow dies, they lose so much money. But it has nothing to do with, like, compassion or anything. It's all about money. But we should have more pity for people. When someone is hurting or suffering, that should matter to us. I think you might remember from yesterday that sometimes the angry, obnoxious people might just be insecure. Do you remember that? They might be fearful. And sometimes the cause of that fearfulness would really...
What do you do when you receive evil? What do you not do? What does it say in the verse?
You want to start it again?
No, this is just for recording.
Okay.
Hopefully your pocket can hold all this.
Yeah, that's right. If not, I can. When I receive evil, this verse says it's not Christian to return evil. The male imagination often is all about returning evil for evil. It's often all about getting back the one that's trying to get you. I don't know anything about the female imagination. I've never had a female imagination in my whole life. But the male imagination needs to be subdued, because this verse says, not rendering evil for evil. It says, or railing for railing. Now, we don't use that word so much anymore, but railing, like...
yelling at somebody.
Thanks, Miss Wilkie. That was good. Oh, who said it?
That was me!
I'm so sorry, Mr. Jedediah. I am so sorry. I am. Mr. Jedediah, will you kindly pardon me for that mistake?
No problem.
That was so gracious of you.
I mean,
I'm so ashamed of that. I am. But anyway, I'm glad you took it well. Can you just appreciate the maturity of Jedediah?
Yes.
Can you appreciate that? But contrary-wise, blessing, it says. Contrary to what? Contrary to returning anger for anger. Instead, blessing. Boy, you need to be born again for that. Because if you're not born again, that blessing might sound insincere. Like someone yells at you and you say, may God bless you. It might not come out quite... but if you have God helping you, maybe you could, in fact, return blessing for railing. Knowing that you are called to this so that you can inherit a blessing. Look at verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days. Doesn't that sound like the Bill of Rights or the Constitution? Which one says that created equal? Which one is it? There we go. Declaration of Independence. Just like that document. It says here, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from, so they speak no guile. Let him avoid evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It's quite an interesting passage, this one. It sounds almost Hindu. Except in Hinduism, these things happen in the next life. Do you know how that is with Hinduism? In Hinduism, I'm nice in this life, and then the next life I get reincarnated with a better life. But how does it work in this verse? Is it next life or now? Yeah, it looks like that God is literally, he's looking over the world, looking for people who are exhibiting this thing of giving goodness in return for evil, love in return for bad treatment. He's looking for them, and when he finds them, he charms their life. He blesses them. He does something for them. When I think about Bible history, I realize that charming sometimes is slow. Like I think of Joseph. His life was charmed, but it was slow, wasn't it? I mean, the suffering lasted for years. It was a slow process, but eventually you could see that God was looking, and did God eventually do something for him? Eventually, and used him to benefit many people. I have a lot more to say about that, but I want to come to your homework. I asked you to look up the word knee. Did you look up the word knee?
Yes, sir.
Who found something you can share from what you found? Miss Zahara, the future missionary. Miss Zahara wrote me a campagram saying she wants to be a missionary, and I want her to be a missionary, so I think that just settles it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Just it'll just happen. Go ahead, Miss Zahara. Have you ever had your knees shaking because you're so afraid?
Yes, sir.
I so want to ask you when that happened, but I'm not going to do that now. But that's not your typical fear. That is your really wild fear.
And it looks to me in Ezekiel, where Zechariah was reading, and many other places, that God sometimes let us be brought in. Sometimes. Have you heard that phrase that there are no atheists in foxholes? Have you ever heard that?
Saved all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Now think about that verse 22. Who's it to? What does it say? Who's this message to in verse 22? That was like a punny use of the word to. But to whom does this message go in this verse? Everyone, right? Everyone. So which do you think? Does God give this message to them by like individual dreams that they all have? Or does he announce it through the sky? Or is there some other way they get this message? What do you think, young man? How do they get the message? If this message is to them, how do they get it?
So
Mr. Jonathan gave the answer, all of the above, but you didn't give any of the above answers. You know, what means are used? How does God get the message out? What's one thing, Mr. Micaiah? His people. Micaiah. Is it Kai? I got to remember Kai, not K. Kai, like a kite. Micaiah. God uses his people to get the message out. He uses them. He uses you. And we're going to read more, but we're going to come back to that idea because it's the whole reason I come to camp. Is so you'll go, I like you as campers, but I really want you to go be missionaries. That's what I really want. Sure, there's lots of people working in this country, and people say, oh, America needs as much help as everywhere else. It gets too much help already. Would you just go somewhere else, please?
Yes, sir.
Isaiah 45:23. I have sworn by myself, this is God speaking, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. Does that sound like our theme song? Our Lord in
righteousness.
And will not return, that unto me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear. Swear what? We know from our memory verse. What are they all going to swear? That Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. That is, Philippians 2 helps explain Isaiah 45, and Isaiah 45 helps explain Philippians 2. But you can see this was God's plan a long time ago. I'm going to have to say this quicker. I'm going to run out of time in the middle of it. Do you know, young people, that this idea of every knee bowing is part of one of the most special parts of the Adventist teaching? Listen to me for a minute. God has enough power that he can do what he wants without even involving us. But the way that he has organized the universe is that he doesn't even let you and I into heaven until the angels agree that it's a good idea. That's the judgment going on right now. And when we're in heaven, he doesn't destroy the wicked until we go over the records and agree that what he's doing is the right thing to do. And then you find in the book of Jude that when the wicked are resurrected, just before they're destroyed, God doesn't destroy them until they also agree that what he's about to do is the right thing. That is, God has organized the universe so that everyone, every creature, high and low, everyone, the righteous, the wicked, the demons, the angels, everyone is going to see and admit that God is loving and kind and right and just. That what he's doing has always been the right thing. Everyone sees it, not just the young disciples. The wicked see it too. I think maybe you need to see that. Turn to Jude. Can you keep a finger here in Isaiah and turn to Jude? Are you able to do that? Or a ribbon or something? Look at Jude. You don't need to say chapter number when you talk about Jude. Jude, and we're going to look at verse 15. Speaking about God's judgment, when he comes to do his judgment, it says, to execute judgment upon all, and listen carefully, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Do you see the word convinced there? What is the verse saying? Before God destroys the wicked, he makes sure that they can see it. Ellen White was shown this in detail. She was shown that God will make like a panorama of their life. They'll see it. They'll see how God worked to save them, the miracles he did, the way he organized things, the way he turned things. That's my enemy right there. I had a student named Marisol who was one of my best students. When I say best students, I mean she had a bright eye, bright eyes, and a bright face that looked like she understood what I was saying, and she cared about it. That makes me so happy as a teacher when I see that the audience is with me. And she had a heart to care about people, and when she had opportunity to be resting, she often would go and be sharing the truth with people anyway. So I loved Marisol as a student. And then she graduated. That's one of the hard parts about being a teacher, you know. You just deal with that. And she left. She went back to Chile, South America. That's where she lived. But some years later, she came back to the United States to visit, and she traveled with my team for a day while we were recruiting call porters. We're traveling school to school, recruiting people to sell books. And she was showing me pictures of her boyfriend. And, you know, she's sitting on his lap and a few other poses, and you can tell they're pretty close, and she looks like she's going to marry the guy. But as she tells me about him, he doesn't sound like the same kind of person she is. He sounds like, for example, he's still a carnivore, and he still watches movies and plays video games. And I knew my soul that she's not like that. And it sounded like that, it just sounded to me like not a good match for her. You understand how I'm feeling about it? Like I'm thinking, here is one of those rare, virtuous young ladies, and she at least ought to find a virtuous man. And I'm thinking, because I'm driving while I'm thinking this through, I'm thinking, what can I do to help her? It's kind of a risky to help a lady in that situation. You could lose a friend forever in that situation. So I tried something. I began to tell her a story. Can you understand a story in a story?
Yes, sir.
I told her the story about a couple that I knew when I was in school in 1990 and 1991, and they were older students. They were like in their, you know, late 30s and early 40s, much older than the rest of us. And so when they began dating, they figured they didn't need so much time as most people, and they got married, and they had a little boy. And soon after the little boy was born, those two really lovely people came to different conclusions on something quite important, namely whether you should belong to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He concluded no, and she concluded yes. And, you know, for a long time, like for several years, the little boy would go to church with his dad and go to church with his mom, you know, just because they're going to different churches, like take turns, alternate, whatever. But there came a point when the boy had to, like, choose one, right? And that made so much stress between that couple that they ended up splitting. They didn't divorce, but they lived 1,000 miles apart from each other, and that boy would shuttle in between them, you know, part-time with mom and part-time with dad. And what I was trying to tell my soul as I shared the story with her is go slow and take your time. Can you understand what I'm trying to do? Like, don't just hurry through. It might not be as happy as you think. And while I'm telling her the story, I'm getting too energized about it, and I'm driving too fast. And I'm passing cars. I don't realize I'm doing this, mind you. It's all subconscious. But one car that I'm passing is a station wagon. And as I'm passing it, I look at it because it's loaded to the gills. You know, not that they have gills, but you understand what I mean. And as I get beside it, I glanced over at the driver.
It was the man I was talking about. I hadn't seen him in 8 years. I got his attention, I pulled him over, and I introduced Mary Soul to the man of the story that I had just been telling her. That's God shaking Mary's soul. Can you sense it? Saying, wake up. But Mary's soul went back to Chile and married the man. He wasn't faithful to her, and he beat her. And she left him. And she's happily married to a good Christian man today. But that earlier part of her life wasn't essential, was it? Did God do something to save her from that? Miraculous even? So, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, campers and campers, don't ignore God when he's doing something to help you go the right way. Let him take control, right? So I have 3 minutes left and 15 minutes of content, so let me just choose one thing and be done with it. Did you hear yesterday when I talked about under the earth? I wasn't sure what it meant. And then you heard yesterday that Mrs. Everett said maybe you can ask Mr. Pruitt about under the earth. Did you catch that? Ask me about the very thing that I denied that I knew anything about. And so, of course, yesterday, I studied under the earth. I studied it. I studied it this morning. And also, Mr. Tony Everett was studying it this morning, and we sat and talked about it at the breakfast table. You know, he found verses that I hadn't found, and I found verses that he hasn't found, and it was a very good conversation we had together. And I want to say that's part of Bible study. God never really intended that you and I would be independent atoms. He intended that when your unit is doing unit sharing, that you're going to do something like that for the rest of your life. He intended that you're going to have spiritual friends, and you're going to let them know what you find, and they're going to let you know what they find. And actually, God is going to tell them something that you need to know. And he's going to tell you something that they need to know. He does that on purpose. He could tell me what I need to know, but he'd rather that we become a network than that we become individuals. You understand the idea? So let camp be the beginning of something for you, of choosing spiritual friends that are happy to talk about the most important things, because that will help you. And then I still have a whole minute. Cross-references. Cross-references. Some Bibles have them. Get a Bible that has them. Cross-references help you to connect verses together when often those verses don't use exactly the same words, but they're on the same topic. And so that works a little bit better than a concordance sometimes. What is that? Cross-references. They're a great aid in Bible study. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the miracles you work to put us going the right way. Would you save us from horrible experiences? Finish the work you've started. And I'm asking that you would find a way to bring the truth to those who need it and haven't heard it. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.